We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful New York City, my man, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Ty. I am pretty good. I am pretty pumped as well to bookend the regular season, even though we're into February now. We've done this, and it's been among our more contentious shows in the past.
It has, actually.
And for that reason, we have sort of assigned the grading and the evaluation to, I think, the Solid Verbal subreddit. But I am quite excited to not just review fantasy things, and I guess in a way review the season in our own way. This is our the most personal microscope we could peer into.
That's right.
But I'm also excited to, in retrospect, almost like you see the, let's redraft the 2008 NFL draft. I'm almost in retrospect, we're not going to redraft fantasy things, but look at the items that in retrospect should have been considered as multi-million dollar plays. So the excitement level in me is up to the brim right now.
Me as well. I went through these earlier today in preparation for the show, and I'm excited to walk back through them as well. Hello, how are you? I'm Ty. He's Dan. Again, this is the Solid Verbal College Football Podcast. You can find all of our work out on solidverbal.com or through whatever podcasting app you are into. Just hit the subscribe button. We will be coming your way once a week, at least once a week, I should say, for the full duration of the college football offseason. As we get closer to the season, we'll start previewing teams, we'll start ramping up, but Lord knows we've got a long ways to go before we get there. In the meantime, we do fun stuff like this, which we're going to talk through today, which is our fantasy things recap or our fantasy things retrospective, whatever you would like to call it.
Yeah.
Here is the genesis of this. Now, I realize we may have some new listeners who didn't have the benefit of going back and listening to our Fantasy Things shows. But for those people who might be new to the show, even within the last year, maybe they heard the Fantasy Things.
First of all, how dare you not discover us sooner?
Yes.
Continue.
But if you are in that category, let's give the folks kind of a look back at how we got to this idea to begin with, because we used to do something else, right?
Yeah, we used to do the Verbies after the season. That was fun for a good chunk of time. And then we've just sort of adjusted and taken on a new adventure of how we look back and ahead of the season. And it's the Fantasy Things draft. And we just draft narratives or storylines or things that, cliches, very repeatable items that we foresee happening for the whatever 15 or so weeks of the regular season. And after the season in the past, we've said, okay, we'll grade it 1 through 5 or 1 through 3 for each item and add everything up and see who did a better job of drafting these items. And I got accused of bullying you.
Yep. I got, accused of being an aggressive beta male and not standing my ground against you.
Look, a lot of smart people listen to this show. I'm not going to name names, but we know the demographics. We have a lot of people who do quite well with in the field of intelligence. Yeah, yeah. So we left it up to our pal Peter, who runs the excellent solidverbal.reddit.com and the people on the subreddit to do their own grading as the season went on. Okay, this thing happened, this thing happened, this thing didn't happen. And they tallied it up at the end of the season. And lo and behold, you did win. Now, I think there's some hanging chads.
Okay, we're going to talk about this because I did make a few notes.
Yeah.
And of course, being so we host the show, perhaps we have the ability to overrule some of the results. I'm not saying I'm leaning that way, but I come into this with an open mind. So we're going to go through all of our picks. As Dan said, we used to do the verbies.
Right.
We decided to move into this fantasy things realm. And the cool thing about the fantasy things is it actually lends itself very well to live audience. It's one of those things that we could take on the road. This year, we did it twice on the road in the same weekend. And it plays very well for a live crowd because it's fun and it's forward looking and gets people kind of in the mindset of college football. Also, it's not too inside baseball. So
like
if we do it again this year, which we most likely will with fantasy things in some other select city, you can bring a friend or a loved one or a significant other, whoever, even if they're not super duper into college football.
Right.
And our point of view is that they'll still have a pretty good time. That's at least been the general feedback.
Yeah, and we do a Q&A, and a lot of times there are chicken tenders available that you can eat with Ty. You guys can dunk it in sort of a Lady and the Tramp style. Ty offers that to the most loyal of verballers. Yes, and we should, if this is fully opening up the cone of honesty, sometimes we put items in there that we think are just going to be very fun to talk about in front of a live audience that we don't actually think are going to hit every week.
What we did this year, so
it's the equivalent of doing it for the gram.
But for sure.
Doing it for the fan.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah. I mean, if you really want to peer into the cone of honesty, it was a heavy lift for us this year because we decided to do 2 live shows in 1 weekend, which is never something we had really even thought about doing. It just worked out that way. We knew we wanted to get to Texas.
Yep.
We knew we wanted to get to DC. And that was just sort of the way it worked out. I was panic stricken. To be honest, I was panic stricken. I was panic stricken because we made the decision that we were going to do 2 separate shows. It wasn't going to be like a comedy act where you do the same thing on 2 consecutive nights. We made the collective decision. We were going to do 2 separate shows with 2 different sets of content. And I guess I wasn't panic stricken because I didn't think we could come up with the content. I knew we could do that, but it was just a lot. It was a lot to try and stuff into a 48-hour stretch. And it took me a while to kind of take a deep breath and I guess that nap before we went on in DC because we were both pretty cooked. But I think the DC show and the Dallas show both came out magnificently well. Our items here, which we're going to talk through momentarily, were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the most important thing is we'll start this conversation from the point of Ty 53, Dan 49 is your final score.
Yeah. And by the way, if you drafted Ty and Dan talk about themselves for the first 7 minutes of the show, congratulations. Your fantasy things team is thriving. And next year, fantasy things will just be other people drafting things they expect us to say during the season.
It's very meta.
Ty is bullish on Kyle Hamilton and hates that he loves TCU. Huh. Yeah. Points again.
So let's start with that. Let's start with our Dallas show.
Yeah, great time.
Great time. Alamo Drafthouse, a little bit outside Dallas, but close enough.
Heavy A&M contingent. Loved it.
Heavy A&M contingent, for sure. Here was my list of 6 selections in Dallas.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer coaching rumors. Teaching Mac Brown, the old dog, new tricks. And I had that in quotes, that you needed to say both old dog and new tricks. We needed to hear that on the broadcast in order for
I love that pick.
The network cutting to Storm Radar during a lightning delay.
That was great.
Rogue coaching hair. which is always a favorite
for
me. Yeah,
not as robust this season, but still good.
Broadcaster promo excitement, and the example that I cited was Doug Flutie and his seeming infatuation for the Manifest show on NBC.
Still on the air?
Allegedly.
Oh, okay.
Haven't cool. seen it.
Okay.
And then finally, the marching band comes out to plays to Old Town Road.
Just killer. Just a killer. That was not only your pick, but that was your contribution, one of your contributions to the selection bank.
And I believe you tried to talk me out of that one.
It was really good. I was flat out wrong.
You tried to talk me out of that one, Dan. So, yeah.
Or maybe it was gamesmanship, Ty, that I was...
It could have been. Could have been. A little reverse psychology, sure.
Yeah, something like that.
In Dallas, for you, you had a player who's got a little bit of Baker Mayfield in him.
I think this should have tripled every week. I think it's such a good submission. It was such good on our part, sort of reading the landscape of how people talk about the 2019 season, that even if it happened once a week, it should have counted quintuple. It was so good and so spot on. I don't mind shooting my own horn.
Let me read through the other five. We'll start with the Baker Mayfield one, because I have some stuff to say on that. But you also had sudden broadcast catastrophes, which is something goes wrong with the broadcast.
Yeah.
LSU has sleep pods. Marty Smith commits to a bit. One pick before, you have broadcast talent promoting a non-household brand, which also features Marty Smith in many respects.
Marty Smith actually pops up in a number of these, and I couldn't be more delighted.
Marty Smith tweeted about the LSU sleep pods, too.
Marty Smith is the crossover event unlike anything you've ever seen.
And finally, you had small school disrespected, and we'll talk about that one. But let's go back to the Baker Mayfield thing. So this was a real fun one for us because, you know, you hear it all the time. We did it on the show we did a week ago where we're trying to compare some of the incoming recruits to maybe their pro equivalents. And every now and again, you have a guy who's got a very select skill set, like Baker Mayfield, let's say. You know, not just his ability to scramble around in the pocket and make throws, but plays with a little bit of an edge and a little bit of Baker Mayfield in him.
He's an underdog. There's an underdog mentality to him.
Underdog mentality. And you always hear variations of this. Someone on the subreddit posted that Sean Clifford had a little bit of Trace McSorley in him. That was a quote. Like, you hear this kind of thing all the time. But specifically with regard to Baker Mayfield, this was something that happened a fair amount. You pulled some awesome examples in the show in Dallas. Cross sport, softball players, politicians, you name it, people who had a little bit of Baker Mayfield in them.
Right.
I have Brett Gabbert here as just a random Mac example from Miami, Ohio, who was listed to have had a little bit of Baker Mayfield in him.
Right.
And this was not the most popular selection. It didn't get you the most points, but I think of all the ones we did, this was my favorite because it was something that it was easy for us to repeat week in and week out and just have fun with.
Yeah. It was also the idea of saying, comparing a player you're not familiar with to a player you know very well at that point, because he had been a star for however many years, 3 years. There was something like almost Hollywood pitchy about it, where you're saying, okay, this movie I'm pitching is Can't Hardly Wait meets Fast and the Furious. Right. You're like, you're not sure exactly what that means, but you're familiar with sort of the body of work. So that really played well for us.
Of the other ones here that are on your list.
Yeah.
The sudden broadcasting catastrophe actually happened a lot more than I expected.
Of course it did.
And the way that our good friend Peter chose to keep track of these over on the subreddit is he started a post every week. And within the span of that week, if any of these items hit, and we'll go through the DC selections in a little bit.
Right.
You would go out to the subreddit and you would make a post. You would create a citation. And then he added them up at the end. That's how he came to 53-49 in favor of me. The most amazing thing is that every year we've done this, it's been ridiculously close. It's never like a blowout where you're killing me or it's always within a few points here and there.
Right.
Sudden broadcast catastrophes happened a lot more than I thought. I did enjoy the thoughtful conversation out on the subreddit, where folks were trying to figure out whether or not, remember when the Sooner Schooner crashed?
Yeah, that was great.
They were trying to figure
nobody
out.
Nobody was hurt. Yeah.
Nobody was hurt, thankfully. They were trying to figure out if the Sooner Schooner crash should have counted here as a sudden broadcast catastrophe.
And I don't think it should.
No.
It has nothing to do with the broadcast itself.
Elsewhere, we had small school disrespected. So what this meant was a player maybe only got an offer from Boise State.
Right.
And they call that out as a bad thing on a broadcast. It happened here and there. It wasn't nearly as popular as some of the other ones. LSU sleep pods did not do you any favors.
Yeah, it really didn't seem, because LSU decided to go ahead and do something a lot more newsworthy than have sleep pods and right. be excellent at college football.
The two, though, that I had probably more fun with than everything else other than a little bit of Baker Mayfield in them and some of my own picks.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Smith committing to the bit is less of a fantasy thing and more of a guiding precept for humanity at this point.
Explain yourself.
He's just always committing to the bit.
I could not agree more. He is unironically, this is genuine. He is probably one of my, I don't know, three or four favorite college football personalities.
Just really sears into it.
And I love it.
By what I mean everything. Just right. goes for it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of on the heels of that, then, you also had the selection of talent, broadcast talent, promoting a non-household brand. And Marty Smith is also featured in an Eckridge sausage commercials.
Obviously.
That Academy Sports and Outdoor commercial. There were a couple other brands, I think, that were nipping on the heels of Marty Smith. He was only part of that. I saw someone else on the subreddit posted that, quote, just saw Jesse Palmer in a commercial selling mattresses for rooms to go. So broadcasters trying to get theirs.
Would you like to hear my impression of Jesse Palmer's agent responding to a request to appear as a spokesperson?
Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. When do we shoot? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Let's do it. That thus concludes my impression.
In general, I'd say your Dallas selections were way stronger than your DC selections. In terms of points.
Mm-hmm.
I think the heart and soul was there in DC, but the points didn't follow. On my side, though, Urban Meyer coaching rumors were a thing all year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a safe pick.
I didn't love the pick. I mean, it was very safe. It just, there was no zazz to that pick.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think I said that actually in Dallas when I made the pick.
Yeah.
I knew it, went with the safe pick.
Yeah. It's your penne with vodka sauce pick.
I did not once hear anyone refer to Mack Brown as the old dog trying to learn new tricks, but that was one of those that fell into the category of being very funny to do.
Yeah.
In front of a live audience.
Mm-hmm.
Totally separate from the fact that it might not garner me any points.
Right. Yeah, a lot of attention went to Sam Howell, went to the fact that Mack Brown hired what looks to be a pretty good staff and has recruited pretty well, but yeah, it didn't quite fit with the season.
Rogue coaching here. Didn't go much of anywhere either.
No, I mean, the Gundy mullet has been around now for a few years, so that's not crazy anymore. And Dana Holgorsen, his hair tends to like do the weird thorny crown situation in high winds, but Houston was off the radar enough that, you know, people weren't too focused on it.
But here's where I made my hay.
Okay.
Broadcaster promotional excitement. So this, I think, falls into the same category as your selection of sudden broadcast catastrophes. Actually happened a fair amount. And again, the nice. Genesis of this was Doug Flutie 2 years ago on the Notre Dame NBC broadcasts, just getting really into these promo spots that they'd have to do for this show called Manifest. I've never seen Manifest. Apparently Manifest is a fun show. I don't know.
Yeah.
It got season 2. I don't know if it's been renewed for season 3. Don't really care. Flutie really got into it. What we saw happening this year from a broadcasting standpoint is, first off, other announcers getting excited about various network shows, be it NFL primetime or something similar. Or in the Fox case, announcers getting a little too into that WWE contract that they signed.
Mm-hmm.
That was not something that I really had on my radar when I made the selection, but given their new affiliation with WWE, there was a lot of excitement about that partnership. And I think that was the reason that I got most of these points.
One of the things I did notice, because we were talking about, what was the name of the show? Manifest?
Manifest, yeah.
When I largely just watch football, some NBA, and random shows that I hear are good, and be it on HBO or Netflix, prestige television, tie.
Sure.
So I lost track. I don't know what people watch, what people don't watch, what new shows are on, what shows are no longer on. Do you know what the number one non-sports network TV show was of the 2018-2019 season was?
Non-sports network show?
Yeah, so CBS, ABC, Fox, NBC, CW. That's what it's called now.
Is it a CSI?
It's not a CSI.
Is it on CBS?
It is not on CBS. There are two shows that are tied. One is on NBC, one is on Fox.
The Voice.
No.
Okay, then I'm out. I don't know.
Okay, you're out. So the Fox show is The Masked Singer.
Oh, that's what they were promoting during the Super Bowl.
The number one network TV show.
Okay.
And This Is Us on NBC.
Okay, good show.
Both of which had a 3.8 rating. I don't know if that's, yeah, it's 18 to 49. So, yeah, Doug Flutie is more keyed in than we are, is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Manifest in the top 10.
Really? Ooh. No.
Manifest. Well, no, it's actually higher than that, because if you remove Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football, it's number, my math says 7? Oh, my good Lord. I don't know.
I'm glad you told me this, because I was inclined to put Manifest in the Bones category.
Flutie bump. Total Flutie bump. Yeah.
You know where I stand on Bones.
Yeah. Nobody watches it, but then it turns out everybody watches it.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, a lot of excitement over WWE. So that was one. The network cutting the Storm radar during a delay was actually not my submission into our larger pool of possible fantasy things. I think that was yours.
And I was really bummed because we had a picture of Chris Cotter, who does a good job for ESPN. And it turns out was he calling ACC Network
ACC
games?
Network, yeah.
And it was it a Matt Berry studio radar? And I'm not talking Matthew. Matt.
Right. Matt.
B-E-R-R-I-E.
He was doing studio stuff. So I'm assuming at some point he had to do a couple radar hits.
Yeah, I mean, he was the one hosting the like halftime shows on a random 7:30 ESPN game, right?
Right.
I think so. So yeah, I think it was Matt Berry doing it. That was a bummer because I think Chris Cotter did just bang up job talking about 45 minutes, an hour, we'll see.
I'm telling you, the best thing ever is Mike Tirico reading the radar. Because
like he put in the legwork.
He puts in the legwork and seemingly has some meteorological knowledge.
I love that.
He's talking about cells and updrafts and all sorts of weird weather stuff. But I didn't catch enough of that from Tirico this year. But this radar thing, especially in the early part of the season, happened a lot. Happened a lot. I was able to snag that pick, which I was excited about. And then the other one in Dallas that, frankly, got me most of my points was bands playing Old Town Road.
I mean, it's killer.
Killer. I threw this one in there just as kind of like a cultural thing to prove that I'm among the people out there with the people.
Yeah, that's you.
This did unbelievably well. We were getting tweets each and every week about Old Town Road being played at some stadium by a band at halftime or after the third quarter or what have you. And yeah, so this one sort of made it all worthwhile just as kind of a throwaway pick at the end of our first show in Dallas.
It was great. It was great. And then what do I have? So that's, okay, so you have Old Town Road. That was me or you?
That was me. I had Old Town Road.
You had Old Town Road in Dallas. Damn, that's a good pick. Okay, next.
So after that, we hopped on the bird early, early the next day, early on a Sunday morning, and flew over to D.C.
You think Lil Nas X is going to have another hit? Not on that level. Do you think it was too big? Like, is it almost like a Macarena Who Let the Dogs Out, where it's just too much of a hook and it captured America in too aggressive a way to follow it up with anything?
Well, see, so here's the thing. I was always inclined to say yes. And then I watched the Grammys. And I believe his album was nominated for Album of the Year.
The full album?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But did he have any other hits that got to,
I don't know.
The top five?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to really, like, dig deep on this one.
Yeah.
But Old Town Road was obviously the headliner, mm-hmm. played a lot in stadiums, made me a lot of hay here in terms yes. of points. So we hopped on the jet, flew over to DC, did our show at Union Stage.
It was great.
Great show. Fun show, awesome crowd, cool venue.
We took those B12 shots beforehand.
Yep, really yep.
Make sure we had the energy to go.
Yeah. I got deathly sick the day after. So here are our selections in DC. I'll start with you. Let's go through these one by one. Why not?
Okay.
Manny Diaz bringing the swag back to Miami was your first pick in DC.
It's a good preseason pick. I stand by it as a preseason pick, but it gambled a lot on Miami being good and him actually bringing that swag back. And TBD, Ed Reed is now an employee of the Miami Hurricanes.
I saw that.
Chief of staff or something, head of player personnel, something along those lines. We'll see it again, probably, but it's going to be more like he doesn't have that much time to bring the swag back.
My favorite understated part of both of our live shows when we did these fantasy things was the graphics that we had for this one, because we went through and was it Bruce's Twitter feed that we found, like old Bruce tweets of,
oh, it's across the board. There was a lot of different people, but yeah.
Okay. I know Bruce has done it and he's not alone, but people who had written articles, posted tweets about,
I found a lot of
somebody
headlines.
Bringing swag back to Miami.
It was like Bleacher Report this, SI that, ESPN this, and it was just like Al Golden bringing the swag back, Mark Richt bringing the swag back, Randy Shannon bringing the swag back, and this just the latest episode.
We also have crotchety transfer portal takes.
Yeah, so this one, I mean, Justin Fuente just said that they're not going to bring back players. Like, this is obviously after the regular season, so there have been some takes postseason during the transfer portal time. I misevaluated the timing, thinking that there was going to be more action. I mean, I guess there was in the first 4 weeks or so, but yeah, I didn't think it through. So there have been takes after the fact, but this actually probably hit better with coaches, and this may have been a previous year's selection. Coaches not being able to talk about technology or social media in sort of a clowny way, like Pat Fitzgerald saying my email address is like idontcare@twitter.com or whatever he said. It was great. I'm sure we got 40,000 tweets. Yeah.
All right. You also had team has loss on loop all off season in the weight room. This one did not get points as far as I could tell. Not a lot of points anyway.
Right.
Another one of my favorites here. Usually it's something you hear an awful lot of, and it was a hell of a lot of fun to do live.
Right.
So at least from that aspect, it was successful, just not so much in terms of points.
It happened. I'm sure the team did play it, a loss from the previous
year. Oh, I'm sure. We just need the announcers to talk about it. That's the problem.
We do. The next one I thought was going to do well too, and I don't think it did all that well.
An unusual major. So the backstory on this one is that it actually hit the cutting room floor from the live show we had done the previous year in Chicago. We had Unusual Major on that list. It didn't make it into the final cut, and we immediately threw it up on our list for 2019. It was one of the first ones we picked. I feel like we assigned it right away. We both liked it. It's a ton of fun. We talked about the Connecticut School of Puppetry, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got to talk about some fun stuff in that regard, but again, no points.
But who's to say? Maybe every broadcast, there was a key UConn linebacker who was a 4.0 puppetry student, but who's watching UConn games? Who's verifying that for us?
We do cast a wide net here, Dan.
That's true. Okay.
We have also a certain coach bringing an SEC mentality to a non-SEC school. So this is a pretty close cousin of the defensive coordinator bringing the attacking, more aggressive mentality to his new defense.
Yeah.
This was just SEC mentality, which no one really knows what that means, to a non-SEC school.
Large dudes, perhaps over-aggression on the recruiting trail. I sensed it a lot with Oregon, but I paid a lot of close attention to Oregon. I know this was also a Mel Tucker-type pick at Colorado, him coming over from Georgia, I thought would play a role. I think it probably did well. It probably did better than I was given credit for.
You think?
Yes.
Okay. So this would be one of your points of contention right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the last one that you got is actually the one that I think did the best from a points standpoint. And it was another one of these throwaway picks that we included at the end. I think I might have thrown this one in our player pool. Les Miles has a ring.
Yeah. Remember.
Les Miles has a ring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the origin here, of course, was Les Miles hired by Kansas. Made a bit of a production out of this to get Les Miles. Again, he's got the ring. He's coming to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
No one really was sure how to feel about that, but we were confident that on many a broadcast, we'd be hearing about Les Miles' ring.
Of course.
Kansas might stink, but Les Miles still has the ring. Mm-hmm. It gives announcers something to talk about. And they talked about it an awful lot. It was the subject of an Aflac trivia question at one point.
Nice.
This was definitely a popular topic to discuss with regard to Kansas and Les Miles.
Ah, terrific. I'm glad to hear it. I was very proud of that selection.
Now, on my side, here we go. I also feel like I had a bit of a down spell in DC.
Okay.
My biggest one was Tiny Field Demonstrations.
Love that pick.
So this is how on every broadcast, at least the pregame, the major pregame broadcasts,
mm-hmm.
they decide to construct a field that somebody can go out there and show you how to run the plays like the boys do.
Yeah.
But it's always way too small. And guys are, you know, Rob Stone is supposed to be the nose tackle. And it's just like, it doesn't really work the way it's supposed to. It's for demonstration purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny field demos we threw out there. It was fitting for me because I also had the Urban Meyer coaching rumors from Dallas. And because of Urban Meyer's participation on the Fox show, mm-hmm. he took part in many a tiny field demo.
He did.
So if you went heavy on Marty Smith, inadvertently, I went heavy on Urban Meyer. But
yeah, tiny, I think my way is a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah. Tiny field demos was probably my best selection in that DC show.
Now, I don't know if it was counted. I have not gone granular and looked, but they went on the road some, and I think at least one week they did a demo on the full field at Ohio Stadium.
Oh,
like,
really?
They were like talking about right. Ohio State twists or something that the defensive line does, and they were showing it on the actual field. They used the regulation field as a tiny field.
Mm.
I don't know if that was counted. I'm okay with it if it was.
I don't feel like it should. No. Field. I don't think it should.
Really? I mean, they are not lining up with the appropriate splits.
But it wasn't a tiny field.
I guess it was not.
The big old, that's a big field, Dan.
It was not a diagram-specific field.
No.
You're right.
So we'll have to check the tapes on that one.
By the way, something I also did like about the tiny field thing. Everybody at the desk, it was largely Fox. Maybe there was some ESPN tiny fieldage, but this was what Fox really leaned into. They would sit at the desk. Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Rob Stone. Who am I forgetting? Urban Meyer. Was it just the four of them?
Brady Quinn.
So they'd sit at the desk. They're wearing their suits. They're put together really nicely. They go out to the tiny field. And it's like, all right, jackets off, fellas. Couldn't keep the jackets on to just take a step in one direction. I was like, all right, we're rolling up our sleeves for this tiny field. Okay, continue.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I also had Trevor Lawrence draft stock. I didn't hear this mentioned once all year.
No, it was a rough start to the season for him, at least perception-wise,
Trevor Lawrence is going to have a very high draft stock. I'm still very confident of that. I don't care that they didn't win the national championship, but I was all in on this one.
Yeah.
My strategy was to go safe with my selections because, believe it or not, we've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now. I had yet to actually win a fantasy thing cycle. Yeah. So I was trying to go with what I thought was going to be safe. Trevor Lawrence's draft stock, especially on the heels of what he did as a freshman, you're thinking, wow, people are going to be talking, should he sit out? Could he be the first overall pick now? Didn't hear it mentioned once and didn't see it mentioned at all in the subreddit. So that was a whiff on my part.
You walked into the Fantasy Things creamery and announced to everybody, sorbet, please.
That's right.
You went real, right. Real simple. Okay.
Speaking of creamery, let's go to the Penn State item here.
Okay.
Now, late game James Franklin is a thing. It is very much a thing. I don't know if it was as much a thing this year. I don't think I got as many points from this as I expected.
Where does late game James apply this season? So it was the Minnesota game was a disaster in the first half, and they crawled their way back and threw a late pick to lose. I don't think that
the
was
the Michigan game. The Michigan game was a good
it
example.
Threatened.
Yeah, it was a good example of
they
some
got
mismanagement.
Lucky. Yeah. And then the Ohio State game, they make sort of close thanks to turnovers, but nobody's looking at that game and like, why couldn't, was it Will Levis?
Will Levis.
Yeah. Nobody was thinking like, oh man, James Franklin totally let Will Levis down here. I think Will Levis didn't throw more passes, but that was a nightmare of a game offensively for Penn State.
Late game James Franklin, not as successful as I thought.
No.
Post game handshake tension. A fun one to talk about actually did happen very early between Michigan State and Arizona State. Mark D'Antonio and Herm kind of had an icy reception at midfield. But beyond that, not a big earner for me.
No, not an every weeker.
Midfield logo desecration. Another exciting one to discuss, but not something that really happened. We've seen very notable examples of this happen in the past. But this year, not so much. This was kind of a non-issue.
I think with picks like this, there should be certain picks that we mark as if this happens once, that counts as like 6 points. Because we know it's not going to happen every week. So if it does, it's just like a hot spot, an NBA Jam, one of those types of situations where we have to note a hot spot pick. Because if we did get, who was it, Devin Bush from Michigan before the Michigan State game?
Right, right.
Sort of running his cleats through the field in East Lansing. If we have a situation like that, or planting the flag like Baker Mayfield, that's got to count for, you know, the sonic rings have to fly out of the sky for that pick. That's what I'm saying right now. Because we're going to go to the owners' meetings, the Solid Verbal owners' meetings, and we're going to go to the rules committee, and we're going to make some adjustments in the spring.
I'm fine
so
with that. I'm fine
that's,
with that.
That's something I am submitting, that there is a wild card pick that we know won't hit every week, or even 3 times during the season. But if we predict something that's kind of out there and it happens, the sonic rings happen.
Maybe at the live show, we give everyone a couple cards to hold up and they could tell us, odds on some of these.
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
The one that actually got a fair amount of traction here outside of Tiny Field demos was Mike Locksley knowing the DMV.
Yeah, that did pretty well for me.
That was mine, dog.
No, sorry. I did that. I think I came up with that.
Oh, right.
But that did pretty well for the draft. Correct.
Mike Locksley, knowing the DMV, being in that area, quoted as multiple times, almost verbatim, knowing the area, knowing the DMV. Obviously was able to pull in a pretty big recruit from the area. Recruiting otherwise, we'll get back to you.
Jerry, yeah. You know, this was actually, and it's probably unintentional on your part now that I think about it, because we made this pick in the DMV. We made it in DC. You made the pick. And it's a strong pick because that is, the, you know, one of the first things, not the first thing maybe when you look at Mike Locksley's history, but it's a really smart pick because strategically, there are teams that play games in which announcers have to stretch. They have to find things to talk about. And Maryland, and I don't have every score in front of me about, you know, every 2019 score in front of me, but I imagine there were a lot of fourth quarters where people were talking about fun, unusual majors or backgrounds or his dad played at this school. There was a lot of fun fact games for Maryland this season.
Well, so, look no further than the first 2 games of the year.
Right. Well, that was
they
Maryland
won
the
like
other
140
direction.
To nothing.
Correct.
Got to talk about something all that downtime.
Yeah. No, that was scary if you were banking on that element of Maryland's season. But it's a smart pick. If we were going to look next year, I mean, Arizona would be, if you can find some fantasy thing about Kevin Sumlin, I think it's a good year to do that. Yeah, look at some of those teams. That's a sneaky, like fantasy things money ball for you.
So that's actually a perfect segue into our quasi-redraft here. Items
yes.
that maybe became apparent to us after kickoff, things that we weren't able to sneak in under the radar of our two live shows,
draft.
Our supplemental draft, sure.
Yeah.
53-49 was the final.
Mm-hmm.
We can go back and check tape if you want. We are planning on doing more fantasy things at some point this fall, late summer. We'll get back to you on timing and topics and any rules changes that the Verballerhood might find notable. That being said, if you had to do it over again, knowing what you know now,
mm-hmm.
what are some items that you might consider drafting?
Well, first of all, I did look it up while you were talking about something. There have been no actual college football games since the year 2000 that ended 53-49.
Okay.
But there have been seven that have been 52-49.
Oh.
Both of our alma maters have lost a game 52-49. And one school has won two games 52-49 since 2000.
Damn.
You're not going to guess which school it is. The California Golden Bears have won two separate games 52-49. Once
wow.
against Virginia Tech in 2003, once against Oregon, Justin Herbert's freshman year, 52-49 at Cal, and USC beat Penn State 52-49 in the Rose Bowl.
Get the heck out. Okay.
2017, if my math is correct. So there's that. Okay, supplemental draft.
Supplemental draft. Give me a couple.
Okay. Joe Brady's age. Pretty good. Joe Brady is 30. I guess he was... Was he 29 to start the season? I think it was a September birthday. Joe Brady is 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been really good.
You know, this coming year, we're going to have some issues trying to figure out which coaches are the next Joe Brady.
Yeah.
That's a 2020 fantasy things item
yeah,
right there.
A Joe Brady-like effect on the blah-bitty-blahs.
Yeah.
Offense.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to workshop that one a little bit, but that feels like it's almost too easy to not include.
Florida State clock issues. Would have been a good pick. Would have been a good pick. Dylan Gabriel broke Tua's Hawaii high school record.
Wow.
Every week, pretty much. From the UCF games that I saw, even just small portions, they worked it in there. Chase Young pre-snap arrow or spotlight.
Oh, wow.
I think you would have done well with that.
Yeah.
Any sort of illusion or shot of Bud Foster's lunch pail. What are they going to do with this? You know, I don't know if you're going to see this on the sideline of Virginia Tech much longer. That's going to make it in there. Houston expects De'Aaron King to return. It's part of a Dana Holgorsen master plan. About that. I have another year, another Heisman for a Lincoln Riley quarterback.
Yeah.
That did really well. Maybe not all season long, but early on, as Jalen Hurts was putting up numbers.
Early on, it felt that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
Early on, he was the front runner.
I have down here, don't forget Les Miles won a national championship. Not remembering that was an actual pick that did well. This one did really well for us because of how big Tua's and Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, J.K. Dobbins, a lot of these guys put up huge numbers this year. And here's the fantasy thing, quote, and they didn't even play most fourth quarters. That would have really hit well for you. That would have hit well. Again, because we're killing time in blowouts. We're killing time. This one, I think, probably would have done well. A quarterback who is and I know this is going to mean a lot to you, a quarterback who is a clear game manager is, quote, more than just a game manager.
Just a game manager?
More than just a game manager, we might just have to bring wherever we go in August.
The old Jack Cone effect, sure.
Yeah, the cone zone.
Yeah.
I have Bo Nix was at the 2010 Auburn National Championship game and is an Auburn legacy.
Yeah, that would have done really well.
That would have been a killer. Killer pick. Should have done my research there. Texas A&M loses impressively. 2 years ago, it was Clemson. It's not paying off every week. This is one of those Sonic Rings pick. This year it was who? Georgia?
Yeah.
1913? Okay, so that's the Sonic Rings pick. Mike Leach says or tweets something that initially seems quirky, and then it's just kind of a bummer. Then it's just kind of a bummer. That, I think, 5-7 times?
Yeah.
Over the course of the season?
Yeah.
I have, what else? Did I have, is that everything?
I have overly emphatic Jake Fromm interviews.
Oh, this is good. This is really subjective, though, because this is almost like the Ryan Tannehill effect.
I know.
Where he's too polished.
No, it's not even too polished.
Yeah.
It's just too emphatic, too excited.
Right.
Very excited to do all of those post-game interviews. And again,
like Jake Fromm is running for president of the Georgia offense.
Yeah, I mean, like a little bit of that, but more like it had more of like a frat guy feel to it. He's just very, very excited.
Mm-hmm.
To have won the game. And I don't begrudge him for being excited. Georgia had a hell of a season, but it's just after the first five times, it's a little much.
Yeah.
A little much. So the post-game interviews for Jake Fromm.
You could say that about Georgia third downs, too.
You could.
The first five, a little much.
Kind of along the same lines as Old Town Road.
Mm.
Could have done bands playing Star Wars music.
Right.
I feel like I missed that one, given that Star Wars came out around Christmas time.
Yeah, and it's always, there's going to be an element of, we need to play something that everybody knows.
Right, right.
And doing an Imperial March, doing, the crawl.
I think the reason, and I actually thought about doing this one before the year, and I didn't, and I think the reason why is because they've always played the Star Wars music.
Right. It was nothing terribly unique to the 2019 season.
What about Dabo Swinney inventing a motivational device? Did we talk about that one at all?
So there's the rest of y'all bus.
Right.
And he did bring your own guts. So it's almost Dabo acronym? Dabonym?
Yeah, it's like his own vernacular in a sense.
Right.
But, and every coach does this.
Sure.
It just so happens that Clemson is crazy successful. And like this year, somehow kind of pigeonholed his way into spinning them as like a underdog-ish.
Right.
At least internally. I don't know if we really believe that, but Dabo using a motivational device seems like it's the kind of thing that is now repeatable from year to year and maybe something we should have our radars up for next year.
Do you have any historical ones that you wish we could just use every year? I have, well, so the two I have are very similar. They're kissing cousins, if you're allowed to say that still. It's the defensive coordinator attacking aggressive mentality. Now, that's a January one. That's right. A spring football one. That's not going to hit a lot ever, if not ever. But that to me feels quintessential fantasy things. And similarly, the strength coach comes in and is like, I don't even know what they were doing around here. I don't know what the last guy was doing. But we're taking this up to the modern era.
Right.
You know, guys are puking here. It's like they've never worked out. That one, I love it so much.
I'm trying to think back to some of our old legacy ones that have been among my favorites. We had some in Chicago that kind of on second thought just slayed me.
I don't know
Dean Blandino one.
Oh, yeah. Is he doing XFL stuff?
I'm not.
I think he is the head of officiating for the XFL.
Yeah. That's one that is one of my favorites. Also, backup being better than the starter is bronzed in the Hall of Fame here.
Yeah. Dean Blandino. It's such a funny name to even say out loud.
The overly emphatic Tonga Vailoa.
Overly emphatic. We've got the strength coach with the screw loose. There's been a lot of really good ones. All I'm going to say is if you have more to add, in terms of supplemental, now looking back though, fantasy things items along the lines of Dabo acronyms or Joe Brady's age, which I think is the clear winner.
Yeah.
SolidVerbal.reddit.com. Drop it in there.
SolidVerbal.reddit.com. You can also hit us up out there on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual hotspots. You can also email us solidverbal@gmail.com. As I said, we're going to be doing, and believe it or not, we are actually in the infancy of planning out when we're going to be doing our live fantasy things show or shows this coming year. So As Dan said, I don't know if we've actually set aside time for when the rules committee will meet to discuss.
Yeah.
These rules for the 2020 version. But if you have any suggestions out there, please do give us a holler again out on the sub. Give us an email. Drop us a tweet. Whatever works for you. SolidVerbal@gmail.com. Whatever works for you, let us know what we can do maybe to, keep things fresh.
I like the idea of there being a Solid Verbal hot stove. I like Peter Gammons is outside your mom's house looking for a scoop. It's great. Does Peter Gammons still report? I don't know if I see his name as much. Okay. In any case, Ty, the Solid Verbal's Fantasy Things draft is to us and to this show the preseason. So thank you very much for everybody for humoring us. And it really doesn't feel like the proper bow is on the season until we go back and reevaluate everything. And I put together a little, it's almost like our version of what the NCAA tournament, what CBS does at the NCAA tournament. What's the song?
One Shining Moment.
It's One Shining Moment. And so I'm not singing, but I put together a little edit of some moments we love during the regular season with some reactions, Ty.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly.
Knicks is back, throws it downfield.
Go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself.
But first, what can Burrow do with his third and long?
A few moments later.
Over the middle, complete to Jefferson. First down on his play. And that might be the knockout punch.
This is 2019 LSU. This is Joe Burrow.
Well, let's see. 1 second. Akers denied.
Wisconsin, 72 yards.
Excellent. Bruins down big on the road, and they come all the way back.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
67-63.
And it was everything that I thought it could be.
Howell, sprinting out, gets hit, and does it get in.
Missed it by that much.
The Tigers remain in front with 1:17 to go. Carolina's out of timeouts. For all intents and purposes, this baby's over.
Disappointed!
The Michael P. Ryan tight ropes the sideline. He's going to take it for the Gator touchdown. 88 yards.
Hey, there you are. I've been looking for you.
He pulled it! Unbelievable! South Carolina wins!
That, just so you will know, is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
They're holding their breath in champagne.
Oh my God, that is amazing!
The first time Wisconsin trails all year is as that kick goes through the uprights to give Illinois the biggest upset.
Berkich, it squeezes through. Brooks after it, it's loose!
Humans have tried everything. Now it's up to us dogs.
Kick from our play action.
Oh, deep.
He's going to go down the sideline. Wide open. Lawrence Cager. Touchdown.
Well, now.
And it's a killer of a loss for Florida. Jubilation on the Bulldog sideline.
They throw the fade. And caught. Denzel Mims. Baylor remains unbeaten. They come into Fort Worth and get the win.
Can do.
Clifford again has time. Throws and it is intercepted in the end zone by Jordan Howden. They rode the boat and it's for real here, baby.
You know what I just saw? A golfer.
Baylor is pouring it on against OU.
2 hours later.
And this one is intercepted. Given a second chance, Bonito makes the pick and a takeaway of all things is going to seal a massive comeback.
Father.
Fields pump fake, lets it fly. Touchdown, Chris Olave. They defeat Penn State 28-17.
Boom, roasted.
Kick is on the way and it hit the upright. It's no good.
Oh, you hate to see that.
I don't know if I've ever seen a game ended with too many men on the field.
It is close.
It's one of their proudest traditions.
Riddell breaks free, and another house call to punctuate a championship victory for Oregon.
Oh, God, that's funny. Oh, that's good stuff. Okay.
Hey, that was pretty good, Dan.
Thank you. I scored it myself. But I tried to find moments that were surprising and helped to define the 2019 season, and it was a fun look back. And I got to tell you, there are some weird clips in there. There are some, like, I was going through, like, I was scrubbing through 101 Dalmatians audio for longer than you'd like to know. Caddyshack, Simpsons, of course, Dumb and Dumber. So there's some quality things. If everybody can get every clip in there, I'd be insanely impressed.
Okay. If anybody can get every clip in there, yeah. solidverbal@gmail.com will send you a shirt.
It's basically...
We'll send you a shirt.
We'll send you a shirt. It's one shining moment meets maybe girl talk. If I'm remixing season audio, I don't know.
First person to write in with every clip. That means, Dan, you need to validate it. But
yes.
Write us, solidverbal@gmail.com. That's all I got, Dan.
That's my audio, Bo. That's all I have.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for that. And thank you to everyone for downloading the show, for bearing with us. We will include, as part of this show, links back to each of the fantasy thing shows that we did. I think we lumped them all together into one long show.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, if you want to hear what our selections were, if you're just tuning in later and didn't get a chance to catch that initial show, we'll link you up so you can check out where this all started. And then obviously, as per usual, please write in and let us know your thoughts. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, solidverbal@gmail.com. Go on solidverbal.reddit.com. as well. That's all I got, Dan.
Same.
All righty. Well, thank you to one and all for downloading, for listening. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. We will be back next week, same time, same place. Enjoy the rest of your week, all of your weekend. And hey, in the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.